You're listening to The Pulse.
Hey, Wynn Army Community Hospital, Fort Stewart, and Hunter Army Airfield. It's Kevin Larson coming at you with the latest episode of The Pulse. We had a short break in our programming, thanks in part to Tropical Storm Debbie, but we're back. In this episode, I'm joined by Brigadier General Deidre S. Tahan, the Director of the Defense Health Network National Capital Region. She's at Wynn for a visit, and we'll talk more about what she saw and did here in just a bit. Ma'am, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm appreciative of being here today.
So first, tell me a little bit about yourself and what inspired you to pursue a career in military medicine.
So I'm an Army physical therapist by trade, and I fell in love with the profession of physical therapy in the Army because we've been leveraged as physician extenders since Vietnam in being able to actually holistically care for those with musculoskeletal injuries. Since that happened from Vietnam, now the rest of physical therapy around the country has trying to come and adopt the Army model to physical therapy. And so it's really an exciting profession, and I fell in love with it. Once I became a physical therapist, I fell in love with evidence-based medicine. And in doing so, I went back and got my PhD. And so I ended up being on faculty at Army Baylor Doctorate Program of Physical Therapy for about 7 years, where I did research and education. And then I deployed to Iraq. And when I deployed to Iraq, I realized just as I fell in love with evidence-based medicine, I actually also loved evidence-based leadership. And I realized there was a need to make sure that we were applying the best evidence in how we led organizations so that everyone could thrive in that organization. And we can bring the joy and soul back to medicine by actually making sure we led with things we know that create an environment so that everyone can thrive.
That's interesting that the Army paved the way for physical therapy, and now the rest of the nation, the rest of the physical therapists out there are catching up. I didn't know that. I mean, that's just fascinating. I mean, the Army was the first branch of the service before the nation was founded, and here we are leading the way in another area.
Yes, but quite honest, we led the way since World War I. So we were reconstruction aides at World War I. There was no such thing as physical therapy or occupational therapy before World War I. And then the success of these reconstruction aides then bore out all these professions. So many of the medical professions had their start in the military out of necessity and then moved out to the civilian world.
Absolutely fascinating. What advice would you give to someone who's aspiring to be a healthcare professional interested in a military career, perhaps in physical therapy or occupational therapy?
I would say that one of the best things about healthcare is that you get to help others. The best part of being healthcare in the military is that you get to help that top 1% of Americans who both qualify and volunteer to serve our nation. And is there something very special about treating that population? Because they actually know that they are also in it for a bigger mission, which is to defend our nation. And so treating for the soldiers, their family members, and our retirees really makes healthcare even more special. And it's, I wouldn't change it for the world. And it's hard to believe I've been here for over 30 years in the Army. And I am so glad that my career brought me to this place.
I can tell you from personal experience, I used to work on the garrison side of public affairs. I recently made the transition to the medical side, and I am thrilled to be on the caring side of the Army. It's a good place to be. So what are some of the biggest challenges facing military healthcare today?
I think the biggest challenges in military healthcare and really the U.S. healthcare system is the toll the last 5 years has taken on healthcare providers. There was a huge toll in caring for everybody during the COVID-19 pandemic. The stress of actually having to continue to go to work while everyone else had to stay home and isolate. The stress of actually having to put yourself in harm's way on a virus that you couldn't see. And then the stress of actually trying to have to do more with less because the whole support structure, anyone that we could send home safely had to go home during the pandemic, which meant the providers and the nurses and everybody that had to be in place, continue to do double duty during the pandemic. So there, to get after the burnout that's associated with that is incredibly important because we have to find the joy and soul of medicine again so that people can thrive. Because people spend a lot of years studying to become a healthcare professional, and they did that because there's a passion for it. And I hope we can help them find that passion. There's incredibly a shortage in healthcare providers across the nation. You can see it in the news all the time about the shortage of nurses. And so if we don't find a way to allow people to thrive at work, we're going to continue to have less people available to serve, not just military medicine, but the whole U.S. healthcare system.
Yeah, I do a daily news wrap-up, and I look at Becker's Hospital Review and Axios Health, and I do see nursing shortages, doctor shortages, physical therapist shortages, the whole gamut of healthcare professionals. There's definitely, you know, there's a need out there that we find the right people to not just, like you said, help the military, but help the general population as well. So let's tighten the focus down a little more locally. You're here at Wynn Army Community Hospital visiting. So what was the main reason for your visit?
So as the Army Medical Specialist Corps Chief, I'm responsible for all the physical therapists, occupational therapists, dietitians, and physician assistants. And so I try to go out and visit all of them and see what their needs are and see what I can do as the Corps Chief to better serve their needs and make sure that they have a venue to thrive, and things that need to be fixed, we kind of figure out how to fix that for the system. This is incredibly important as the Army rolls out holistic health and fitness, because it is our physical therapists, occupational therapists, dietitians, and PAs that are moving outside of the brick and mortar of the healthcare facility and integrating into those line units and making sure that integration goes well and that they're set up for success. Because if you've done all that training to join us, we want to make sure you're successful when you're out there doing your mission.
Fascinating. So it kind of follows the model of the embedded behavioral health clinics, where now the OTs and PTs are physically with the unit?
Yes. And what's great about that, and we learned this, and this has been a 30-year journey. We started this with the Ranger Regiment out at Fort Lewis in the 90s. And what they found is that the average soldier really doesn't want to go to medical, even when they're ill or injured, because they don't want to be away from the mission. And what was happening with the Rangers, by the time they went to Madigan, they were so injured that they either needed a permanent profile or a med board, and oftentimes it kept them from doing what they loved. And so what they realized is that when you put the physical therapist out in the unit, they actually will seek care earlier, and early care gives early return to duty and better outcomes. And then once they had success with a physical therapist in the Ranger Regiment, then they added an occupational therapist and a dietitian, and they've always had the PAs there. And so that success with the Rangers then went to the Special Forces, and then it went to the Brigade Combat Team with the physical therapist, and then it became Army Performance Triad, and now it's the Holistic Health and Fitness Program. And so it is really understanding that we truly need to fully invest in our soldiers, the most prized weapon system. We need to put the resources out there where they live, love, and labor, so that we make it easier for them to seek care, because so many of them, their selfless service that is one of our core values of the Army, means that they actually put themselves lower in priority, and we need to make it easier for them to take care of themselves so they can continue to serve our nation.
Very true, very true. And I've spoke to Major Christensen, who you've met here today, one of our PTs, actually the chief of the physical therapy department, I believe. And we did an entire episode on the pelvic floor for men's health, and it was absolutely fascinating. And he mentioned in there that the best time, the most critical time after an injury is 2 weeks after to seek medical care, physical therapy, to prevent a chronic problem from developing. And we'll pause here for a short break. And when we come back, we'll chat with General Tahan about the work-life balance and holistic fitness that she's been sharing.
Introducing Q Anywhere, your stress-free prescription pickup solution. Just get in line with your DoD ID, select your pharmacy spot, and we'll text you when your prescription is ready. Text I am here when you're on your way, and we'll have your meds ready for pickup. Quick, efficient, and easy. For refills, call 912-435-6576. Q Anywhere, because life's too short to wait.
And we're back. Again, I'm joined by Brigadier General Tahan. She's the person in charge of all the occupational therapists and physical therapists across the military healthcare network. And she's also the director of the Defense Health Network National Capital Region. So your Grand Rounds presentation this morning focused on what you've been talking about, the bringing of joy back to medicine. How do you maintain a work-life balance for yourself? And what can you tell our soldiers and DA civilians and DOD civilians about the demands of being in military medicine and how they can do that, balancing the passion for patient care with the demands of the job as well, and still be, you know, having that healthy home life?
Well, thank you for that question. You know, at the Grand Rounds this morning, I talked about what leadership needs to do to make the environment at the hospital better for everyone to thrive. But from a personal perspective, what I really ask people to do is think about what brings them the most joy, and are you actually doing those things? And often what I found during the pandemic is that before the pandemic, you were doing the things that brought you joy. And then because of the pandemic, we often changed what we were filling our time with. Maybe it was husky videos on TikTok or on Facebook, or it was watching horses' hooves get cleaned, right? And then all of a sudden you spend an hour watching these short little videos that really makes you laugh in the short term, but really doesn't bring you the joy that you were getting in the things you were doing before the pandemic. But because those have become new habits, it's just as hard to change those habits as it is to do other habits like quitting smoking or improving your diet. You've created habits, and habits are ingrained during the pandemic. So how do we break the habits we want to stop that we did during the pandemic that are no longer bringing us as much joy? And how do we get back to the things that really give us joy? And I think it's being really aware of what makes you happy and then finding time to invest in that. And that's not just for you, but your family. One of the things that I love is my evening walks with my husband. You know, if you had a teenage daughter, you often know that conversations, or any teenager, not just a teenage daughter, that mealtime conversations are somewhat like this. How did today go? Fine. Anything happen? No. What did you do at school? Nothing. But when you go out and walk with your family, there's something about walking that opens up that communication channel. And there's research that shows that when parents go after an after-dinner walk with their children, they actually have a greater conversation. So I thought I'd apply that research to my husband. And it's now become our favorite part of the day because it just is, we know we're going to go out on a 2-mile walk. We're going to have a conversation while we're out there. And it's just not forced. It's really a natural, because motion is lotion. And as you move, you actually open up a more natural conversation. And so to me, what I've done after the pandemic to bring back joy is to make sure I don't miss my nightly walk with my husband. I think that really has brought us closer together, and I really have enjoyed that.
That is such a cool idea. And I am on the cusp of having one of those teenagers. My daughter is 8, going on 18. So we're still having kind of good conversations at the dinner table, but I will take that to heart and perhaps start doing the evening walks where, yeah, it like you said, motion is lotion, and just seeing things on your walk spark conversation and then lead to other things. So that is a beautiful idea. I love that. So you've been talking about the pandemic and about COVID. You actually had a role in the Operation Warp Speed to develop the COVID vaccine. Can you tell us a little bit about that and the challenges you faced, like with the work-life balance and how you overcame them?
Yeah, I had the pleasure of working with General Perna during Operation Warp Speed. My job was to lead the therapeutic development. So all the monoclonal antibodies and all the antiviral pills, which you still see the advertisement for the antivirals on the news all the time. Those are the things that we brought to market there. And it was really exciting to see how the whole of government can come together in a way to efficiently move through the process to get FDA approval so that these therapeutic drugs can help decrease the impact of COVID-19 for those with the highest risk for severe disease. And the monoclonal antibodies worked beautifully. I actually got COVID, and I'm a high-risk patient, so I was able to get the monoclonal antibodies. And it was amazing how quickly it decreased the symptoms and the severity of my disease. And now the antivirals are out there, which makes it really easy for folks at high risk to have a treatment option. Because remember, COVID-19 did not exist before it existed, and so there was no testing, there was no vaccines, and there was no therapeutics before those were all created during the pandemic. And so it was a full court press. We were at work every day. It was like a deployment. It's what you did morning, noon, and night to be able to safely get these things through the process and all the requirements to ensure that what we delivered were safe and quality options for the American population.
And I, for one, am very appreciative of those efforts, especially like you shared about yourself, Some of my family is also high risk as well and benefited from the vaccines and from the therapeutics as well. So we're about running out of time. Is there anything else you'd like to add about your visit here at Wynn or anything else that's on your mind?
I would just love to thank the people at Wynn. What an amazing family. Everywhere I went today during my visit, you could tell people really enjoy being here and love serving this population in this community. I'm incredibly impressed with the teamwork here. I'm incredibly impressed with the people that have made Wynn their family and their second home, their home away from home. And I've just been honored to spend some time with this great community today.
Well, ma'am, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. You are a font of information, and I am really going to take that to heart about the evening walks. That is an excellent idea. I like that a lot. I mean, I like to walk anyway. That's about it for this episode of The Pulse. Ma'am, like I said, it was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much, and have a wonderful day.
So thank you, ma'am, and to all our listeners out there, especially those impacted by the floods from Debbie, stay safe. This is Kevin signing off, and I'll catch you on the flip side.